Be in prayer for our daughter Susie. She's not here this morning. She's sick. And so, since she couldn't be here, Paula decided that she and Terry would come down and take her place. We're glad that they came down from Riverside this morning to be with us in our services. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse 24 through verse 30. And while you're turning there, I'll remind you of the evening service. We're going to talk about the uproar in Ephesus. It's in your bulletin there. Read that 19th chapter of the book of Acts before you come to church tonight. And we'll have a good time in the Lord at 6 o'clock. Okay? Verse 24, Matthew 13. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together. Lost my place. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Before we continue in this with verse 36, I want to remind you that probably all of us are somewhat surprised at the rapidity of the downward trend that our nation has taken during the past several years, especially since 9/11. Since that time, we have at least become aware of the terrible growth that what we call left-wing organizations in this country. They're chipping away at the freedoms and the liberties that the people of this nation have enjoyed since our Constitution went into effect in 1776. Ours has been a history of freedom, of liberty, and justice, and opportunity, but we have seen those things rapidly eroding away. This past Wednesday, I went down to the tax man. Maybe that's what lit a fire under my haystack. But our government is tightening its control on the citizens of our nation, almost to the point of oppression. But to those of us who are familiar with our Bibles, we can see and recognize that this is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. There are in our country today two basic types of people. First, there are those of us to whom religion and God and Christ and the church and the Bible have a deep appeal. Amen. There are those of us who espouse peace and liberty and freedom. Then there are those among us who are materialistic. They're greedy for gain. They are power hungry. They are attracted to such things as socialism, communism, and a tyrannical power of control in the hands of the few. Now, this division between the two was seen and foretold by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's told to us in this parable that we just read. Now, Jesus explains this parable to us, beginning in verse 26. He wants us to understand what he was talking about. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, verse 36. And his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." They wanted to know what that meant. He answered and said unto them, and notice this, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." So his explanation of this makes it easy for us to understand. He identifies the sower as himself, Jesus, the Son of Man. He's the sower of the good seed. Now, the field in which the seed are sown is the world, he tells us, the habitat of humanity. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, the sons of God, by virtue of the new birth that we talked about in Sunday school this morning. And these good seed are scattered by Jesus throughout the world. The field is the world, remember. And they are scattered. And the seed that is scattered, and this is going over to another place where Jesus taught, the seed that are scattered must die before they can germinate and grow and produce fruit. Jesus said, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." I remember years ago reading about some of the excavations that some archaeologists were making in the pyramid tombs of Egypt. And in one of those tombs, been laying there for millenniums, they found a grain of corn that had been lying there. And out of curiosity, they wondered if that grain of corn would grow. They took it and planted it in soil. And would you believe it? That seed that was centuries and millenniums old died, germinated, and the first thing you know, there's a little plant that's coming up out of the ground from it. Except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it grows and becomes a new plant and produces much fruit. I want you to take note of that in here when he's talking about these good seed, the children of the kingdom that are sown in the field, which is the world. Now the tares, he tells us, weeds, are the children of the wicked one. So he's telling us here that there are the children of the kingdom of God and the children of the devil, because he's the wicked one here, that are in this world, in the field. And they are both growing alongside each other. So we have the good seed and the bad seed that are growing together. Now the workers wanted to go into the field and pull up the tares. But what did the master say? He said, "Leave them alone. Let them grow together until the harvest." The harvest is the end of the world. Now, there are those today, perhaps, who would like to go out and weed the field. I used to tell my daddy that. I grew up on a farm, and we had cuckleburrs, and we had Johnson grass, and we had all sorts of weeds and foreign seeds and things that would come up in our corn and in our cotton. And one thing that was handy around there, and my dad had five boys, and each one of us had our own individual hoe. And he would say to us, "All right, boys, grab your hoes, get out in the field, and cut the weeds." I didn't know this scripture then. If I had, I would have said, "But Dad, the Bible says, let them grow together." My dad wouldn't have said a thing. He would have just taken off his belt and applied it to the seat of knowledge. Let them grow together until the harvest. Now he identifies them here. In John 8:44, Jesus said to some people in his day, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. Where'd the tares come from? He said the enemy sowed the tares in the field among the wheat. And the enemy is identified as the devil and Satan. But the harvest, when is the harvest? In the fall of the year, isn't it? The harvest, he says, is the end of the world. Who are the reapers? The angels of heaven are the reapers. What happens? The tares are gathered by the angels, the reapers, and they are bound into bundles and burned in the fire. So we learn here that at the end of the world, the sower, Jesus, the Son of Man, will send forth the reapers, the angels, into the field, which is the world, and they will gather out the tares described here as what? All things that offend, and them which do iniquity. They'll be taken from among the wheat. The tares will be put in bundles and burned in the fire. And then the wheat will be gathered into the barn. God's own household, the kingdom of heaven, are the good seed. When we look at this, we like to classify ourselves as the good seed, don't we? The children of God. By faith in Jesus Christ. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The field is the world. But God has scattered His people throughout the world. And the purpose of a good seed is to grow, to die. We die to self. And we grow wherever God plants us, and we produce fruit in whatever place God puts us. His orders are, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Their loyalty is never swayed by the accumulation of wealth or power, or by materialistic, atheistic socialism, or whatever you want to call it. They are surrendered, dedicated, consecrated, yielded to God, interested only in reaching the souls for which Christ died. Now they're living and working among this other group, to whom the things of God have no appeal. During the age, they've grown up together in the same field. In their early growth, in their young and tender years, it's hard to tell them apart. Before a stalk of corn gets over knee high, there can be a grass grow up alongside it, Johnson grass or something like that, that looks so much like it. Don't tell my daddy, but there's been times I've whacked up a stalk of corn thinking that it was a weed or tare. So I know what this means here. He said, leave them alone and let them grow up together. By their fruits you'll know them. Remember that. Now at the time of harvest, the difference has become apparent between these two groups. It's noticeable. Those who are spiritually mature, those who study the Bible, knows that the time is drawing nigh. We know that the separation of the wheat and the tares is coming soon. It's on the horizon today. First, he tells us the tares will be gathered and bound in bundles to be burned. Now, I want you to think for a moment about the tares being bound in bundles. Now this takes place before the wheat, the good seed, the children of the kingdom, are harvested and put in God's barn. Gathering the tares into bundles is a clear and logical, simple assembly for gathering the children of the wicked into groups or organizations as a means of distinguishing the two families. We have many of these in our society today. And just about every one of them are sponsored by taxpayer dollars. To start with the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah, it's big in this country. It's organized. The tares are gathered together in a bundle called the Muslim Brotherhood. That's a bundle. They are anti-American. They are anti-God. The taxpayers are supporting them. We gave enough money to Egypt that every Egyptian could have had $1 million, every single one of them, man, woman, boys, and girls. We could have, if they'd have proportioned that out, every one of them would have had $1 million. But instead of that, all of the billions that we give them goes into one man's pocket, or maybe two or three, that are greedy for power. See what I'm talking about? Got another group called the ACLU. Got a group called Planned Parenthood. We got another group. The gays and the lesbians and the transgender and the same-sex marriage advocates. Have you heard of their new Bible? It's called the Queen James Bible. Not the King James, but the Queen James Bible. And in it you will find no reference whatsoever to homosexuality and all of those things that God calls an abomination. Listen, God always discriminates between good and evil, between truth and lies, between His children and the children of the devil. Many prophets in the Old Testament warned about this treacherous element in our midst. Isaiah 26:10. Listen at this. He says, let favor be showed to the wicked. Well, that kind of falls in line with Jesus' teaching. He said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. He says, show favor to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Surely, our America has been a land of uprightness insofar as nations go. Every favor has been granted to our wicked enemies, and yet they have not learned righteousness. They've turned against us unjustly. They conspire to destroy this nation, which has nurtured and sheltered them. They've been granted freedom and prosperity that they could never find anywhere else in the world, and yet they seek to crush us and destroy us. Their ambitions, their ideals, their purposes are completely adverse and contrary to us and to all that we hold dear. Now God classifies them as not only our enemies, but His enemies. They are those that hate Him. Listen, God foresaw this. Psalm 83, verse 1 says, "Keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies," God's enemies, "make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said," listen at this, "they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance." Does that sound familiar? That old boy over there in Iran's been reading the Bible. He's quoting it. He said, "We're going to destroy them. America is a big Satan. Israel's a little Satan to them." Now, this is similar to the gathering of the sheep and goat nations that Jesus tells us about again in Matthew. This is chapter 25. Listen to this. I want to read it to you. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory." Now, when is that? That's the harvest at the end of the world. Okay? "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him," because the angels are going to be doing the reaping, right? "Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand." Where's he going to put the goats? On the left? I didn't say that. That's here in the scriptures. The goats on the left. "Then shall the king say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then shall he also say to them that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So there must be a division, a separation. That's the very purpose for which Jesus came. Using his own language in Luke 12:51, he himself said, "Suppose ye that I am come to bring peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division." What does he say to Christians? "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." True to his prophecy, there is and has been division. The sheep and the goats are being separated. The wheat is being separated from the tares. And the tares are being gathered together into bundles to be burned. The children of the kingdom are being separated and preserved by God as something precious to him. Now the goats. The goats are destined to eternal punishment. Everlasting fire. Where are they placed? On his left hand. On his left side. The sheep, the kingdom of those who are destined for the kingdom of God, are placed on his right side. Even in our own language that we use, this division is seen. Those who would destroy our national independence and reduce us to slavery under a socialistic dictatorship Well, they're very sinister. Did you know the word sinister? Not senator. Close to it. Sinister. It means evil, corrupt, base. But the word itself is derived from a Latin word which means left. And that's not left behind, it's on the left side. Look it up. Sinister. On the left side. Now these various, what are termed today, and this is not theological language, this is political language, the left-wing organizations are tares that are being gathered into bundles, groups. They appear as a dangerously great power. And those of us who are against this materialism, this atheism, this tyranny and trampling people down to one level are called right wing. Right wing. Just where God said we should be. This past week, I heard on the news about a new congresswoman being sworn in. Our Congress. And she put her hand on the holy book that is used by Hindus, because she is of the Hindu religion. She wasn't sworn in on the Bible. She is sworn in on the Hindu book. What would the framers of our Constitution have thought about that? Why are they turned over in their graves, for goodness sake? And those of us who read and believe the Bible, those of us who know the Word of God, should have no reason to fear or despair, because the gathering of the tares is to us a sign that the end of the age is nigh, the time of their destruction and the time of our deliverance. Amen. So look up. Lift up your heads. For your redemption draweth nigh. The tares will be burned in everlasting fire. But the wheat will be gathered into the Lord's barn, so to speak. Well, what are you today? A tare or a wheat? Are you a sheep or a goat? I would be the last person to put anybody into a category. But I'll throw it out to you and let you examine your own heart. Let's stand together in prayer, please, with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this parable that Jesus gave his disciples so many years ago. And now then, as we're this far down the road from that, how much more meaningful it is to us now than it was to them back then, because we're living right here on the doorstep, as it were, of your kingdom. We're looking for Christ to come. We're listening for the sound of the trumpet, for we know that Jesus is coming again. Thank you for this warning that you've given us in the Word of God. Thank you for the comfort that our souls can have as we meditate on these things. If there's one in our congregation today whose heart has been touched by your Holy Spirit and they feel the need to come, maybe to rededicate their lives to you, maybe to join the church, maybe to be saved, whatever it is, as the invitation is given today, please use it for your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
493.
493. See, I learned a lesson from Brother Mason the other day, because I used to cut my sermons off at 12 o'clock. I listened to him, and he kept on going, and I kept on back there saying, amen, amen. And I would have stayed here a half a day if he'd have kept on preaching. Brother Mason, we're so glad to have you with us again today. Will you dismiss our service in prayer, please?